Angelica is currently the Teen Pregnancy Prevention Program Manager at Golden Valley Health Center. She's responsible for the overall coordination, development, and implementation of an evidence-based teen pregnancy prevention program in 17 sites, including two partner sites across two counties. She's worked with adolescents for the past 13 years in various capacities in school settings, healthcare clinics, and not-for-profit community organizations. Welcome.
Good morning, everybody. I'm really excited to come out and share some of the great work that we're doing out in the Central Valley of California, so thank you. I don't have any relationship disclosures, but I did want to inform you that all of the views in this presentation don't necessarily represent the views of Health and Human Services or Office of Adolescent Health. They did fund our program, so we need to make sure to place that on there. So who are we? Who is Golden Valley Health Centers? Golden Valley Health Centers is a federally qualified community health center. We have about 26 now health centers in two counties in the Central Valley area, Merced and Stanislaus, and we provide a variety of different services, including medical services, dental services, behavior health, OBGYN services, health education, so just a variety of different services. Our focus is really to provide services to the underinsured or non-insured patient population in these counties who might otherwise not receive services. We have a high population of, you know, Latino patients, and as you can see here, we've been accredited by a couple different organizations. So teen pregnancy, we know that teen pregnancy rates have declined within the past few years, which is great to hear. However, we also know that the rates are still kind of high, and we still have a lot of work to do in terms of continuing to reduce teen pregnancy. Merced and Stanislaus County, in particular, in the state of California, continue to have higher rates than the state. So we definitely still have challenges out in those counties. In terms of sexually transmitted infections, again, we also see the need for continued work in this area, and in particularly in Merced and Stanislaus County, you know, we're seeing that we have some rates, and more, we see more chlamydia, higher rates of that versus some of the other STDs. So what are we doing? In 2010, our program, or Golden Valley Health Centers, received a grant from Office of Adolescent Health to implement an evidence-based curriculum. So at that point, Golden Valley and Livingston Community Health Center Alliance for Community Research and Development partnered up to go ahead and implement this program. A couple years into the grant, we realized that we actually had a key partner in these two counties that we had not partnered with, and we went out and reached out to them, which was Planned Parenthood Marmonte. So we were very glad to kind of have them become our partner, and this has really been a great partnership, and we've been able to increase our reach with our teen population and our program because of this. Our curriculum, the curriculum that we chose, Safer Sex Intervention Curriculum, and there's a few different topics that we discuss in this curriculum, but we actually begin by a risk assessment. So we assess the teen to see if they're high risk or low risk. We do an introduction to the Safer Sex Intervention, let the teens know what we're going to be discussing during that initial visit, and we do a Wheel of Change. The Wheel of Change really is to determine the stage of change in terms of behavior change of the teen and see where they identify themselves and where the health educator identifies the teen in being. This will kind of help us meet them where they're at and really understand and know how to move forward with the teen and what kind of discussions we're going to have during the initial and follow-up visits. Of course, we also talk about sexually transmitted infections, birth control, talking about sex with your partner. We do a role play activity. We do a condom demonstration. So all of this is kind of compiled in that first initial session. Talking a little bit further about the program, it is an individualized behavior modification and skill building program. It's a clinic-based program, so it's implemented within the clinic. We don't partner or go to the schools. We don't go out to nonprofits to implement it at different sites. We actually implement the intervention in the clinic. And it's a four visits over actually a year, because it's the initial visit, and then we do the 1, 3, and 6 month booster sessions. We also kind of have incorporated a 12-month one, but initially in the research that was done at the beginning when it was implemented, that 12-month was really just to do a survey. It wasn't to implement the program, but we take that as an opportunity to talk a little bit to the teen as well. So it's the four visits. It's implemented by a trained health educator. The health educator has to be trained in some foundational areas, which is family planning, sexually transmitted infections, other teen health topics such as teen dating violence, some of those areas, and motivational interviewing skills, because it's and that's probably the biggest component of training, motivational interviewing skills, because they have to be prepared to, again, meet the teen where they're at and then utilize those skills to move them forward in terms of behavior change. And we do have a comprehensive evaluation, and we have some measures in place to evaluate the program. We're doing this by integrating the program and the curriculum within our primary care services. We offer the program to all of the teens that come into our clinic. At that point, when they accept, we actually do a risk assessment and then, you know, again, figure out if they're high risk, figure out if they're not high risk, and move forward with implementation. The ones that are high risk actually receive the full kind of program, because the program is designed for sexually active high-risk teens, and the ones that are low-risk, they do get information. However, it's a little bit different than the full curriculum itself. Our evaluation tools, we actually have a few different tools that are used for different components of the program. We utilize daily recruitment logs, and this is really to monitor our internal processes and just recruitment and retention. How many teens are coming in? How many are we able to offer the program to or reach? So we use that to kind of monitor those processes and change them if need be. Fidelity monitoring log, this is actually part of the curriculum. We want to make sure that the program is followed with fidelity at all times. So the health educators do have to complete a fidelity monitoring log at the end of each visit to make sure that they're implementing with fidelity. And then teen surveys, that really assesses a little bit more the demographics, monitors attitudes and intentions towards sexual health practices. Some of our federal performance measures, fidelity, dosage, adherence, and reach. Those are performance measures that we have to report to Office of Adolescent Health. However, we've taken it a little bit further, and we collect the teen survey that has a little bit more on demographics, behavior, practices, outcomes, and then attitudes and intentions. So what is our teen survey saying or indicating about our population? We know that 78% of our teen patients are Latino, and we're seeing that preferred language, 58% Spanish, 81% English, and some, you know, of course, are bilingual. Behaviors and practices. So this gives a little sense of, you know, the population and the behaviors that they're engaging in. We see that about 95% indicate that they've ever had sex, vaginal sex. About 19% have ever had anal sex, and about 50% have ever had oral sex. So we're definitely reaching that high-risk population that the program is intended for. Safer sex practices. They're telling us that in the past 6 months that they've had sex in the past 6 months about 79%. Used condoms in the past 6 months, we're seeing about 83% are indicating that. Ever used a condom, 81%, and then currently preventing a pregnancy, 76%. Our population, about 12% indicate that they've had an STI in the past. 27% have ever been pregnant, 18% have ever given birth, and about 5% have had an abortion. After after our today's visit, I will. So in terms of intentions, this is what we're seeing. 36% have indicated that they will stay abstinent, and 37% not have sex in the next year. So this is really, to me, indicating that they're not necessarily going to stop having sex, but if you look below, they are indicating that they will be using birth control and asking a partner to use a condom. Now, the numbers that you see below, so for those teens who actually completed the whole program, so initial 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, we are seeing an increase in them indicating that they will stay abstinent, so about 12% increase in saying that they will stay abstinent. Not having sex in the next year, we saw a 16% increase indicating that they're not going to have sex, and then using birth control, we saw a 13% increase in that area, and an 8% increase in asking their partners to use a condom. After today's visit, 92% said that they were going to refer a friend, and 90% returned to the program. So to us, that gives us lets us know that, you know, the teens enjoy the program, and, you know, they're wanting to return back and even refer a friend. We also wanted to kind of get a little bit more information in terms of parents. We know that that's kind of a protective factor, and teens are telling us that talking to a parent is important. However, it doesn't look like they're as satisfied, you know, to talking to parents about sex. So, but we also saw those numbers increase for those participants that actually completed the program. And respected by a health educator, that's kind of just an indication that that relationship that the teens are having, or the health educator is able to build with the teens, is very strong, which we're very happy to see. Just a point that I wanted to make here, staffing, it's really important that health educators are trained. It's a big investment in time. Not only do they have to be, you know, trained again in family planning and STD and some of the other health topics in adolescents, LGBT issues, teen dating violence, just everything else that kind of goes into, you know, being able to answer questions for teens. But motivational interviewing, it's a huge, huge part of this program. So just as people are thinking about staffing something like, you know, for safer sex intervention, it really requires a lot of staff development and training time and community collaboration. It's really important for agencies to kind of work together. We saw that we were missing a key partner, and, you know, we wanted to make sure to engage them. The more partners that we have on the table for this, the better, the more teens we're going to reach, and the better our outcomes are going to be. This is our last year of the grant, so as we think about this, teen pregnancy prevention is only part of what we want to do to improve adolescent health just in general. There's various different areas, but, you know, we're starting with this area to kind of increase that or improve adolescent health care, and marketing. For any type of program, marketing is extremely important. We've been able to develop commercials with our Teen Advisory Council. We did a 10-minute video where our Teen Advisory Council participated, and they were part of not only the actors, but writing the script and just really involved them in our marketing and our development of the program as well. Billboard ads, Pandora ads, so they've been really involved, and the more information we put out there, the better it is for our programs and the more people that we're able to reach. So, yes.